الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. وروي عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص أنه قال: قسم الخير عشرة أعشار، فجعل تسعة أعشار في الشام وعشر في سائر الأرض، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين. بشكر الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, geographically speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected different areas of the world which are considered to be blessed areas, inviolable areas, sanctified areas. Two easy examples are like the Haramain al-Sharifain, Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara, where Khana-e Kaaba, the building, the Kaaba is standing today, that area is the Haram, a sanctified area. It is the most blessed area. It is also mentioned in the Quran. In fact, Maulana Dawood Sahib read some of the verses today in the first rakat. لا أقسم بهذا البلد وأنت حل بهذا البلد. And it talks about Makkatul Mukarrama. Also Madinatul Munawwara, where Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing. These are all sanctified areas, inviolable zones. In fact, the entire two cities, Makkatul Mukarrama as a whole and Madinatul Munawwara as a whole. Also, when you look at some of the detailed description of the Quran, it seems that also other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the trees, some of them, they are also blessed. Allah says in the Quran, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ أَنْجِيرِ or زَيْتُونِ كِي قَسَمُ, olives and the figs. These two items are very much beneficial to the human body, especially olives and the figs. Olives is a food which was liked by all the prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, especially Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the hadith it also comes that the best massage for the human body is with olive oil, zaytun. And if there are any olives, alhamdulillah, there are many olives in Spain and Portugal. That is only the barakat of the Muslims that came there and ruled Andalusia, Spain and Portugal for 800 years. The beauty of Spain is in the beautiful olive trees that you see there. Subhanallah al-Azim. And that is the barakat of the Muslims. So wherever the Muslims went, the architecture was there and also the food was there. Everything was well preserved. Also some of the mountains are blessed. Waturi Sinin, Mount Sinai, Kohetur, upon which Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam received revelation, where he did atikaf. Also Jabalun Uhudun, the mountain of Uhud is blessed. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has said, this mountain loves me and I love this mountain, and that mountain, this mountain is part of Jannat. So there are many, many areas in the world which are blessed. Also in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the surrounding areas of Baytul Muqaddas, Masjid Aqsa, آپ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی سے سبحان الذی اسرا بعبده لیلا من المسجد الحرام الى المسجد الاقصی الذی بارکنا حوله. That the surrounding areas of Masjid al-Aqsa is an area of great blessings. Everything is blessed. And that is not just that part of Bethlehem, Palestine, but the entire region. It is full of barakah. And that entire region in the Arabic language is known as Arz-e-Sham. Arz-e-Sham. The name Sham given to that part of that region, according to Allama Yaqut Al-Hamawi, the author of this most beautiful kitab, Mu'ajamul Buldan, an encyclopedia that gives you information of all the countries and Islamic cities, Al-Yaqut Al-Hamawi says that Sumiyat Ash-Sham Bissam ibn Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, that the name Sham comes from the name Sam, and Sam was the son of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ أَوَّلُ مَنْ نَزَلَهَا. He was the first one to come to that region, and that is why that area is known as Sam, Sham. And the reason why Sam became Sham, Allama Yaqut al-Hamawi says, فَجُعِلَتِ السِّينُ شِينَ لِتَغَيِّرِ اللَّفْزِ الْعَجَمِ. Is that when someone speaks a different language, because of the differences in the languages, the seen became a sheen. Like, subhanAllah, there are so many other words, like ghan is not in the Arabic language. If you go in Egypt, they like to pronounce the jean with ghan. So when you hear some of the Egyptians, and it's incredible, they are masters in the Quran, but yet they have this difficulty in pronunciation. And you will hear them when you go for Hajj, Yahagi, Yahagi. They will say Yahagi. And actually they're trying to say Yahaji, Yahaji, oh Haji. But then the jeem becomes the ghan, and they say Yahagi, Yahagi. And sometimes they would even say, Iza gha'a nasrullahi wal fath. Iza gha'a nasrullah. When it is not Iza gha'a nasrullah, it is Iza ja'a nasrullahi. But the shuyukh and the qurra and those who are well versed in the Quran, alhamdulillah, they don't make this mistake. It is only the norm, the normal people there. It is only natural in them, that is their accent. So, Sam became Sham. That entire region where you have Palestine and also Israel today, some parts of Iraq and also Syria. But in the Arab part of the world, Sham is specifically known to be one country which is today known as Syria. In the Arabic language, Syria is pronounced as Suriya. Suriya. Allama Yaqut al-Hamawi says, وَكَانَ إِسْمُ الشَّامِ الْأَوَّلُ سُورَي. That one of the first names of Sham was Suray. That is why it is known as Syria today. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam has spoken much about Syria and that area, Sham. The capital city of Syria is Damascus. Damascus in the Arabic language is known as Dimashq. Some of the historians have said that Damascus is as old as Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasallam. Subhanallah, bole bhai. It is as old as Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. It is the oldest capital in the world. It is said that after the flood, the very first city that was built by Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was the city of Dimashq, which is known as Damascus. Most beautiful city, most beautiful city. A lot of the companions are resting there, subhanallah, and Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has said much about it. We have a riwayat that I read to you. The narrator is Hazrat Amr ibn al-As. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put 9 out of 10 most, or should I say, ashar as in treasures all the treasures are hidden in that part of the region in Syria, and one portion is given to the rest of the world. And it is really beautiful, a beautiful country to see, and also a beautiful city to visit, the city of Dimashq. The name Dimashq, again that name, according to some of the historians, they say that this name was given, the name of this city was because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam's slave from Africa, Ethiopia, his name was Dimashq, and he was the first one to actually construct that part of the region, and that is why it was named after him, Dimashq, which is known as Damascus. Some of the ulama say no, the fifth son of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, in his genealogy, his name was Dimashq, and he settled there, and that is why that area is known as Dimashq. The city is so old, the ulama have said that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam, with Hazrat Hawa alayhi salatu was salam, with Habil and Kabil, they came to Dimashq and they settled near to that city of Dimashq. Even today we have this mountain there which is known as Al-Qasiyun, Jabal Al-Qasiyun, a very, very blessed mountain. It is said that all the prophets that came, they meditated on that mountain, and that event of the two brothers fighting, Habil and Kabil, and one brother kills another brother, some blood stains are also there till today, Wallahu A'lam, but that event took place in that mountain. A lot of the prophets came, they meditated in that mountain, and they invited the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while standing on that mountain. It is an incredible mountain, Jabal Qasiyun. If you're standing on it, you can see the entire beautiful city of Dimashq. It's absolutely beautiful. This is basically some of the information given to us about Sham and the name Dimashq, Damascus. When Allah gives us an opportunity, one should never miss out from this opportunity. This is Arz-e Muqaddasa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it is the blessed area. It is an area where all human beings will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they all will be judged. It is the platform of reckoning. The day of Qiyamah is on Arz-e Sham. It is that part of the world. Everything will be flattened first. And when you are traveling there, we went from Dimashq to Hims, Subhanallah al-Azim, and when you look at the mountain and the peace and tranquility that is there, that is the time when this Ayat-e-Kareemah is in front of you, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladhi barakna hawlahu. Allah has made that entire region a blessed region. Peace and tranquility. Subhanallah. And in Hims, the great companion, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu ta'ala, is resting. The conquerors of Dimashq, Syria, were two great companions, two great mujahideen. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiallahu ta'ala, and Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu ta'ala. Dimashq was inside, it was like a fortress, everything, the city was inside. There were many gates to it. A bit like Ahmedabad. Brothers have seen Ahmedabad and read the history of Ahmedabad. Again, beautiful history of Ahmedabad. Ahmedabad also had many, many gates. And Dimashq was a bit like that also. It had many gates. And on one side, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was pushing in. And on the other side, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah wanted to get through and take control of that part and to annex that region of Sham with the Islamic Empire. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazai khair to these great mujahideen. We have not moved an inch. We have not conquered even to the level of one ek balisht, one span. In fact, things have been taken away. We've lost so many countries. It is the companions that worked very, very hard and they took control of all these areas and they gave it to the Muslims. Subhanallah al-Azim. And when Muslims entered, it was, no blood was spilled. Everything was very, very peaceful. Until today, one of the great sights, one of the great attractions when you enter Dimashq is the beautiful mosque of Jamia Masjid Dimashq, known as Masjid-e-Umawi. Masjid-e-Umawi. Masjid-e-Umawi is the main mosque there. When you enter that masjid, subhanallah, the first thing you see is many, many mihrabs. Many mihrabs, beautiful mihrabs. The architecture, the artistry there, it is unique. We also had an opportunity to meet the Imam of that mosque, and alhamdulillah, one of the great Qurra, if I'm not mistaken, his name is Sheikh Jibreel. We had an opportunity also to read some of the verses of the Quran to him, just for barakat of the Muhammad and Marana Imran Sahib that were there. A great scholar. And alhamdulillah, all the scholars that we met there were all strong Hanafis. Strong Hanafis. They were strong, staunch Mukallideen. So when we met the Imam Sahib, he looked at us and he said, "Anta Hanafi? You're a Hanafi?" And we would say, "Yes." So, welcome. And he would say, subhanallah, he would say, "Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam-e-Azam." Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam-e-Azam. And he would not just say, because these are great, great scholars. He would give you proof for that, and he said that he is a tabi'een, he met so-and-so companions, and this person is his student, and this person is his student, and this person is his student. And they know everything, Allahu Akbar Kabira. Great, great shuyukh. It is incredible, the students that go there, so many students from England, from America, from Europe, everyone there. When we landed at the airport, we were the only ones with beards. We had a problem when we were going out, and they said to me, "Take your topi out." Mujhe kaha topi nikalo. Main topi nikala kya tha? Topi mein kuch bhi nahi tha. Baal ke siwa thore baal se wo. Dekh liye, haath phira liya, khatam. Jaane. And when we got to Suriya, Sham, subhanallah, we were the only people there with beards. I think it's pressure from the government that they don't like the locals to have a beard. And that is the bad side of it. But that is, alhamdulillah, changing. It's a secular country. One of the brothers that was there said to Mufti Muhammad Sahib, and he was relating that to me, he said that it is compulsory for the local people to train and to go in the army. And when you go in the army, the first thing you have to do is shave your beard. So all the locals have to shave once in their life. And there was a person there who said no to the authority that he will not shave his beard, and they put him in prison, and he still is in prison. And it is shameful. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. We have this freedom here. We must make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This is great freedom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. In fact, we even heard that if you are training in the army, if it is time for Jumu'ah or if it is time for namaz, you don't pray namaz, you finish off your training. Now this is the bad side of it. But again, it is not all that bad. Alhamdulillah, things are changing very, very quickly. It is all this system of indoctrination. So when you land in the airport, you see, first thing you see is the photo of the Ra'is, the president. This is the president, Al-Bashar. You see him in front of you, north, you see him south, you see behind. You don't even think of Malakul Maut so much, but you see the face of Bashar everywhere. And the people there must be 24 hours just looking at Bashar. You go out in the streets, taxi, Bashar. You go shopping in Bashar. Only the mosques and the masajid may not have the photo of Bashar. Every hotel, Bashar, Bashar. Wherever you go, it is only this man called Bashar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And this is one way of indoctrination. And this is how you grip people, and this is how you control people from a very young age. And it is incredible, by seeing this man's photo, people have a different opinion. And they take him, yes, he is our leader, every blood drop is qurban, we'll sacrifice for this man. And this is because they see him every day, all the time, it is this man in front. And when he travels, his entire travel is covered. Going back to the beautiful masjid, the masjid which is known as Jamia Masjid Umawi. In the hadith it comes that when Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam comes down, he will come down in one of the mosques of Dimashq. A lot of the locals say that it is this masjid, Jamia Masjid Umawi there. And the first thing I was looking for is the white minaret. And the white minaret is there, the Mashriqi Minara is still there. Alhamdulillah, we got an opportunity to take a photo of that beautiful masjid. There's no harm in taking photo of the masjid. Alhamdulillah, we have beautiful frames in our house of Masjid Nabwi, don't we? And Masjid Haram, Masjid Aqsa, so it is jai. So beautiful photos of that minaret. The locals were saying to us that one day there was some construction going on and someone put a ladder there. All the locals got there together and they said, right, the ladder is there, maybe Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam has come down. Because they were waiting for Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam and they are waiting. And a ladder will be put on top to bring him down. And it is incredible, the peace and tranquility that is there. There is so many mihrabs. We have one mihrab. In the olden times, this masjid was the home of great shuyukh, great scholars. Great Shafi'i scholars were there and great Hanafi scholars were there. So when it was time for Salat, a lot of the brothers would prefer to perform Salat the Hanafi way. So one of the mihrab was used by the Hanafi people and in some cases the Shafi people were there. Some of the shuyukh who were Shafi, they would pray Salat according to the fiqh of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh. But yet there was this great love between the two. But the Imam today, he is a Hanafi there. And even the Qari there, he is a Hanafi there. Subhanallah al-Azim. The minarets are beautiful, the dome is beautiful. Everything there, Qurra are there. And the method of teaching is also very incredible. It's not a university system. You have one sheikh sitting in the masjid and he is teaching a hadith kitab. And you have another sheikh there. You have 100 students here. You have 50 students there. And it is up to the students, whatever kitab he wants to read, he can go to any of the shuyukh. And the shuyukh, the teachers that are there, are extremely humble, extremely pious, subhanallah al-azim. And the character is phenomenal. Very, very humble. Brothers go to other parts of Arabia, we do sense this superiority, because they have a lot of wealth, money. And sometimes they even classify those from India and Pakistan to miskin. But when you go to Syria, because there's not a lot of wealth and the character of the people, they are very, very humble people. Whatever you ask them, subhanallah, they will devote the entire time for you. When we were there, we asked someone that we wanted to see the masjid of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiallahu ta'ala, and it was a good walk. And this man, we asked him, and he says, you want to see the masjid of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah? He says, let me take you. He was busy with someone, and he walked with us all the way. And whilst walking, he said to me, that are you okay to walk? I said, alhamdulillah, jazakallah. It is enough that you are taking us. This is the hospitality. And when we got there, he said to us that, what else can I do for you? Do you want to come to my house for food? Have you got a place to stay? You can come here. And he was so helpful. These were the akhlaq of these great people who are known as Shami people. The people who live in Dimashq are known as Shami people. One of the beauties of this beautiful masjid is Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam will come in this masjid. And also the mazar of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam is inside this masjid. It is right inside the masjid. And the entire body of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam is not there. The Mu'arrikhin, historians have said that Al-Yaqut Al-Hamawi says in another volume which I read, he said that the body of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu was salam and Zakariya alayhi salatu was salam is in an area called Sabastia, and that is in Palestine, 2 days walk from Masjid Al-Aqsa. And that is where Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu was salam is, and Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu was salam is. But in the Masjid of Dimashq, it is said that the auspicious head of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu was salam is buried in that area. The story goes that the masjid was built by Hazrat Walid bin Abdul Malik Marwan. He is the one who constructed that mosque. And when they were building that masjid, they found this cave. And the workers told Walid bin Abdul Malik that there is this cave here, we've never seen this. And Walid bin Abdul Malik with another group of people entered the cave. And as they were walking into this cave, they found this very big case or a casket. And when they opened it, inside it was the head with a letter there, Hada Ra'su Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam, that this is the auspicious head of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam. A lot of the people who were there who saw the auspicious head, and which the historians have written, they say that the face was very much nurani, a beautiful face, like all prophets were very, very beautiful. But this was the zulm that the Yahudi, the Jewish people would do to all the prophets, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, who came to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says in the Quran, وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. It was in their nature that any prophet came to them, inviting them to the truth, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would only do one thing, and they would make qatl of that Nabi. And Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam was again one of the victims of this Yahudi aggression that was also practiced at that time. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam's story is quite incredible. It is said that this old lady married a Jewish king at that time who ruled that part of the area. And because she was old, she feared that one day this Jewish man might find someone, a young lady, and will marry her, and he will not look after this wife of his old lady. This lady had a daughter from the previous marriage, and the daughter was very, very beautiful. She wanted the daughter to have relationship with this Jewish king, Ma'adullah. And she thought that this was absolutely jaiz, because this Jewish king was not the real father. The real father was someone else. And she thought that this is jaiz. So she went to Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam, asking him a fatwa on this. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam got very, very angry. And he said that, how can you speak like that? She is the stepdaughter of your husband. She is like a daughter. How can a father have ta'alluq relationship with a daughter? And Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam scolded her. She felt bad, she went, and from then on she plotted against Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam. Her mission was, ma'azallah, to assassinate Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam. It is said that one night she gave a lot of alcohol to this Jewish king. When he was drunk, she pushed her own daughter. And this is how some of the parents can be also, my respected brothers, when haya is not there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away haya, everything is finished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put haya in Islam. Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an had so much haya, my respected brothers, that once Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was sitting, and Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lungi mubarak, the bottom part, was visible, and only this part of the feet was visible. When he saw Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala on coming, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat properly and hid away everything. And Hazrat Umar Faruq, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, Ya Rasulullah, when we came you were sitting comfortably, but when Hazrat Uthman came, we noticed that you gathered your clothes properly and now you are sitting properly. Why? And Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that I know the fitrat, the nature of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And Uthman has got a lot of haya inside him. So much haya that if he sees me sitting in this position, he will not be relaxed sitting in front of me. Allahu Akbar Kabir. And these were the great companions. Every individual had some form of this eliteness inside them, this khubi inside them. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu was salam said no to her, and the king was drunk, and the young girl was pushed, and as he got close to that girl, the mother from the door was saying that I give you permission that you can do whatever you want, but it is said that Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu was salam objects to what you are going to do. And because he was drunk, he said that, who can object to me what I am doing? I am the king of the Jews. And he says, well, Yahya alayhi salatu was salam said, no, that this is not jaiz in the Jewish tradition. And at that time he sent his army, called his army, and he said, at once capture Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu was salam and ma'azallah, slay him, decapitate his head. It is said that when the army went to the house of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, the son of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam, both father and son were in namaz. It is said in Mi'raj, when Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam that where were you, what were you doing when the Jews came and captured Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam? Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam said to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that both of us were performing salat, we were mashgul in salat. They captured Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam, took him straight away, and without saying anything, ma'azallah, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam ki sar mubarak ko unhone zabah kar diya, kalam kar diya. This is the zulm. This is the zulm that what they did, and they took the head mubarak to the king. And the army said, look, this is what we have done to this man who objected to what you have done. Subhanallah, this is the tribulation. This is what Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that the tribulations and the difficulties that the prophets go through, no one else in this world can go through that. And this is the power again, the sabr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam was assassinated in this way. And Walid bin Abdul Malik, according to what he found, the head of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam, he put that basket, that case in that area of Masjid Amawi till today. And a lot of the people go there and alhamdulillah pray in that area. But the body of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam, according to the Muslim historians, is somewhere in Palestine. And not only the Jews did not take a rest to that. They assassinated Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam, but now the anger was also on the father. Anger was also on the father. Like what the Christians say, Adam alayhi salatu wa salam came down, and because of his sin, everyone is sinful. A child who is not even born or whatever, for generations, everyone is a sinner. And that is why God had to send someone most pure, free from sin, and Jesus came down, ma'adallah, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. And he had to become son of God so that everyone can be redeemed. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. This is aqeedah. This is what the Jews say. And they took the anger out on Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam, and people said to Zakariya alayhi salam that the Jewish army is now coming towards you. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam ran towards one side of Ard-e-Sham, but again the army was everywhere, surrounded Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam. All the trees were there. Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam saw one very large big tree in front and said to the tree, this is the mu'ajiza that open up, it is your duty that you should help the prophet of the time. And the tree opened up, it was hollow from the middle. The tree opened up, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam entered the inside part of the tree and the tree closed. Now there are two traditions that follow up to this story. They say, some of them say that the kurta of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam got stuck on the side when the trees were closing in, and the kurta was visible. And again, another story goes that, no, the Iblis came to the Jewish army in the form of a human being and said that, you have surrounded Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, where can he disappear? Because he is a prophet, he can hide also inside the trees. And he said, it is that tree where Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. And shaitan, you're right, Musa bhai, and we have to be careful of this shaitan. Subhanallah al-Azim, my respected brothers, the time that we are living in, it is like a dream. When we die, and when we wake up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be as if it was just a dream. Oh, we were in Leicester, we were in Masjid Omar. Qala kum labista, how long did you stay? Only for 1 day or 2 days. This is what we will see. Subhanallah al-Azim. So we have to break this dream. It is not a dream, it is a reality. And we are living in this dunya. These were the great prophets sent to us for the guidance of mankind, that we follow Sirat-e-Mustaqim, and we have to make sure that before death comes, we have achieved the highest marks and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. It is said that one of the companions said to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, which is the most wondrous thing that you have seen about Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam? What is something that you have done the most ta'ajjub on in the character of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam? She said everything about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam was incredible. Everything was unique. But then she said that there was one thing which was absolutely unique with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And she said that in the night, when every lover goes to rest with the beloved one, we notice that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam would rest with us for a bit, and then he would say, Ya Aisha, let me wake up and let me stand in front of my Lord. And it was incredible. What we notice is that we could tell that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam did not have the love of anything in this world except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was the real Khalil, and he was the real Habib, and he was the real Ruhullah, and he was the real Kalimullah. The love that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every night he would stand in front of his Lord until Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala would give azan. This was the habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He showed no interest. Interest was there, but as in the love that he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was phenomenal. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So we have to, mashallah, make sure that every minute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we spend everything in the right way, and no time is wasted. The Jewish army came, they saw Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam there, and it is said that they started to then cut the tree, and Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam could feel the pain. It is said that Jibreel Amin came down and he said that all the great prophets made a lot of sabr. All the great prophets made a lot of sabr. It is said that without uttering anything except for praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without uttering anything except for praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah al-azim, one part of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam fell on this side and the other part on the other side. These are father and son shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah al-azim, the perpetrators have always been the Jewish people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Inshallah, we will continue with this in the next session of all the companions that are resting in Dimashq in Syria. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.